those of you who might have gone to a different parish last week, you wouldn't know that I split last week's gospel into two parts. Last week I did the first half, and I've chosen, instead of using this week's assigned gospel, to use the second half. In past years, when I have studied this scripture of the encounter between the Canaanite woman and Jesus, I have been drawn to the woman as being sort of a superhero, someone who did something that was beyond the ability of an everyday human. Now, mothers often do such heroic things to make sure that their kids get what they need, but this woman, this culturally insignificant nobody, publicly challenged someone she called Lord and Master, and in doing so, she not only changed her and her daughter's life, she broke open a culture designed to create separation, and she changed Jesus. What would the earliest community of Christians have been like without the knowledge of this superhero? And what if we, as the modern church, celebrated and lived into the example of this Canaanite woman like we do with someone, say, like St. Paul? Where would we be today? I do love superhero stories. It's comfortable to watch others swoop in and save the day. Things presented themselves differently this time around as I prayed on and studied the scripture. This time, I did not connect the words and actions of the Canaanite woman with that of a superhero. Superheroes have a tendency to put the lives of others ahead of their own. This time, as I embraced the scripture, I connected with the woman in her common humanity. This time I realized that in her humanity, the Canaanite woman is asking for mercy for herself. The scripture reads, "A Canaanite woman yells, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon.'" It might have been the daughter that was being tormented by the demon, but it was the mother that asked for mercy. Not mercy for her daughter, but mercy for herself. She never asks Jesus to heal her daughter. Yes, it was the daughter that had the demon, but I ask you, what's it like to live and share life with someone who has a demon? What's it like to love and care for someone with a demon? Demons are not little creatures or evil spirits that possess, but they are real. Our demons, those things that control us or cause us pain, they are vast. They are rampant in our lives, and often they are secrets hidden from a culture that expects perfection. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been there? If you have lived with, cared for, or loved someone with a demon, you probably know how overwhelming it can get. You know what it's like to live in such a desperation that you find yourself teetering on the edge of losing all hope. You know what it's like to want it to be gone, to want it to simply disappear. You know what it's like to want to run away and escape, but you can't. The Canaanite woman shouts at Jesus. We don't shout and pray the words, "Have mercy on me, Lord," unless we are intimately connected to the one with the demon. We don't pray the words, "Have mercy on me, Lord," if we can simply walk away, separate ourselves, and forget the person with the demon. We don't pray the words, "Have mercy on me, Lord," if we can simply wash our hands of whatever the situation might be that has led us to such desperation. The words, "Have mercy on me, Lord," rise to the surface of our lives when the source of our pain is someone which we are connected, someone we know and love. To be a follower of Jesus is to believe in the one true God, who is the creator of one human family. Why is it that we profess to believe in the oneness of God? We profess to believe all of humanity is created in God's image, yet we only cry out the words, "Have mercy on me, Lord," when we are personally affected by a situation that involves someone close to us. As a child of God, as a member of the body of Christ, we are connected to everyone. When a mother sits on the floor of a hotel room on 4th Street and cries herself to sleep because she has to send her child to school the next day wearing filthy clothes, we should be affected in such a way that we cry out for mercy. When someone stays in their house for 2 weeks to hide the bruises they've received after telling their spouse they have had one too many drinks, we should cry out for mercy. When a parent is on their last straw due to the stress of raising a special needs child, or when someone is on their last straw for being the caretaker of a loved one with a debilitating illness or injury, we should cry out for mercy. When someone is hungry and can't find food, when someone sleeps in the cold of the night, when someone fears for their safety, when someone lives alone in shame, when someone is seen as less than for what they believe or who they are, we should cry out for mercy. No matter if we know them or not, no matter if they live in our family or off in a foreign land, we should cry out for mercy. Until we are able to experience a connection to each other in such a way that other people's pain and torment requires us to shout, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David," we will never experience the kingdom of heaven. To say we will never experience the kingdom of heaven is not a preacher's idle threat to scare people into fear of eternal damnation. This is just painfully the truth. To be in the kingdom of heaven is to be in full communion with God, and we can't be in full communion or fully aware of God's love if we can't experience and react to the pain and torment of others. I think we don't allow ourselves to feel the pain and torment of others because it's too easy to walk away. It's too easy to close our eyes and ears and go about our own business. It's too easy and unjust to simply leave it up to Jesus. And the reality is, Jesus can't do it by himself. In today's gospel, did it bother you that Jesus ignored the Canaanite woman? Because that's what he did. It was easier to walk away than deal with her need for mercy. Then the disciples joined in and urged Jesus to take the easy path, telling him to send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. Jesus tried to do just that, as he said to her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus is saying to her, "You don't matter. You're not one of us." I'm not a behavioral scientist, but my guess is this is a human instinct. Take care of our own. Or then again, maybe it's learned. Last week, Jesus taught that a person is defiled not by what we put in our stomach, but by that which originates in our heart. And what is in the heart manifests in our life. His examples were evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. Jesus' teaching implies that one's race, ethnicity, gender, orientation, disability, or social class does not defile a person. Jesus, having just taught that, I think maybe we should be surprised by both his initial silence and his hypocritical response to the Canaanite woman. The Canaanite woman refused to be silenced. Instead, she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus answered, "It is not fair take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You see, it would not have been uncommon for the Greeks or Gentiles to have dogs as pets. And as children eat, what happens? Food always falls on the floor. This woman opens Jesus to a new vision that it is possible to feed both the children and the dogs at the same time. It is possible to feed the Jews and the Gentiles. It is possible to show mercy and heal everyone, no matter the separations the culture creates. We are all one. Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. It was not her belief that relieved the Canaanite woman's pain, but her courage to be persistent that led Jesus to say, "Let it be done for you as you wish." And it was her vulnerability in responding out of her desperation and the offering up of her own pain that Jesus calls faith in this scripture. Let us take the lead from the Canaanite woman and celebrate and embrace her humanity. And in that embrace, may our ears hear the cry of those in pain, and may we have the courage to not walk away and respond as the hands and voice of mercy we are called to be.